They said we're supposed to introduce a show or something. Radio Farika America 47.
That sucks, butt head.
Shut up, fart knocker.
No way, you shut up, bunghole.
Damn it, Beavis. Don't make me kick your ass.
No, you shut up, bunghole. These guys rock.
Oh, yeah. So where are they already?
Yeah, what's taking so long? When are we going to start to rock? Rock!
Settle down, Beavis. I think they're starting now.
Here comes Bud in. We're going to rock. What?
It's me.
Episode 47 with Mutant
Hang Dog.
Oh yeah, he's here too.
Back in the house.
Exactly. Hey, we got episode 47. You know, we got some pretty interesting stuff. You heard Beavis and Butthead at the beginning. They're pretty funny. But you know what today is? Stink. You know what today is?
Today is the day after yesterday.
Yeah, well that's good. But can you be a little more specific?
Is it the day before tomorrow?
Yeah, it's a little better, but you don't know what the day is, do you?
I mean, it seems like there was something special about today.
It's my birthday!
I turned 17. Who was that?
That was me!
You?
Yeah!
Today?
Yeah!
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Happy birthday!
Oh, thank you. I feel so loved. Yeah, so yeah, today's my 17th birthday, you know. You know what that tells me, too? R-rated movies, and I can... Illinois curfew states I can't be out after midnight if you're under 17, so now I can stay out under midnight, so that's nice.
Yeah, I'm sure that was holding you back before.
Oh, totally, man. That was just destroying me. So yeah, we got my 17th birthday, and then you're about to hear a recording from Nick. I told Nick, you know, hey, we want you on the show. He wasn't totally stoked about being recorded on the show, so... He decided to record something for you guys. So here it is.
Hi, this is Nick84. As most of you probably know, I'm on richfuel.net and wartyping.com. Wintermute asked me to be on the show, so that's why I'm recording this. Just say hello to Mute, Stank Dog, and everyone else listening. I'm going to tell you a bit about what I'm up to at the moment. Currently working on a few projects. One of them is a honeypot that I'll be putting up on the live server. Along with the source code, so keep an eye out for it. If you see it, drop me an email, nick84@richfuel.net. And on the last RFA, Wintermute mentioned I had Freedom Downtime up for download. So that song hasn't been that fast, so T3NL37 said he may be able to get a mirror up for that in for about a month. If he can, then I'll post the URL, so everyone else who hasn't got it can get it there. Right, that's all I've got to say, so see ya.
So, Stink, what did you think about that recording?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny that even with you turning 17, you and Nick are actually the two youngest members of DDP that we have. You know that, right?
Yeah, that's actually pretty odd.
So, but, I mean, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, you guys are both more than worthy to be in DDP. Just because you're young, that just means we get to give you a little extra hard time. But, you know, the fact that you're both in and that we both think highly of you... should really go a long ways in talking about your abilities, regardless of anything else. Age is just a number.
Exactly.
So having you and Nick around, you know, it helps a lot. You both have skills and both have things that you bring in that I've seen people much older haven't been able to hang with some of the stuff you guys have done.
Yeah.
So love for the young, love for the old. Not really old, I guess, but you know, older.
Yeah.
We got quite a few topics to talk about today, so how do you want to begin? You want to start talking about, let's see, I wanted to cover some things like the SUV controversy that's been out the past couple weeks.
Yeah, roll with that.
You want to go with that first? We
yeah.
got free speech on checks, the Best Buy gift card, the FedEx, that one's going to be fun. Yeah, all right, well, if anybody's been reading the message board lately, you'll know that... there's been a little bit of a controversy with a recent commercial. I don't know if you really call it a commercial or a campaign that's linking driving SUVs to terrorism, and it's a play on the presidential campaign against drugs, where they show that drugs are related to terrorism, and that by purchasing drugs, you're directly feeding money into terrorism and causing problems and things like that. So, regardless of whether that original one is a stretch, which that could be debated, I kind of took some not offense, but I was just shocked, a little bit surprised that they took this angle about SUVs because, well, first of all, I found out about this from BIOS. BIOS put this up on digitalrights.com, and I was just furious when I heard they were even trying this. Basically, what they're doing is they're saying, I guess the short version is they're saying that SUVs, because they're such big gas-guzzling vehicles, that they're not energy efficient, and that by making yourself that much more dependent on gas, and all of us together driving SUVs or whatever gas-guzzling vehicle you drive, makes us that much more dependent on gasoline and oil, specifically from other countries, thereby supporting terrorism by... driving a gas-guzzling automobile. In particular, they're aiming them towards SUVs. So I just thought that was kind of silly when I first read about it. Did you have a similar reaction, Mew?
Yeah, that's weird. it's odd because I remember seeing right after 9/11 the drugs to terrorism link, and it was weird because you see this thing and it's like, you can't see the tie. And then have you seen those commercials like, there's Jimmy who bought pot and his sister who got shot by the family. That it just sounded insane. It's more that what Duel was talking about, that fear tactic that a lot of people have been putting into ads lately.
Right, right. Well, you know, the drug one is, like I said, that could also be debated on whether that's a stretch, connecting the drugs to terrorism. But I think it's closer than some soccer mom down the street who takes Kevin, Brad, and Joey to their soccer practice when she gets home from work. You know, I think that's such an enormous leap.
Because
terrorism, it's just not even close.
Because, like, we have a lot of stuff, a lot of things are gas-powered today, and we're getting our oil from the Middle East. So I guess they're saying that because we're getting gas, that we're funding terrorism?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a stretch. All right, fact is, just like you just said, yes, we're using gasoline, we're using oil at a tremendous rate, we're very dependent on oil from other countries. Because of our dependence on oil and we can't produce it fast enough here in the United States, yes, we're very dependent on oil from other countries. That is a fact, and that's not the point that I debate. That's not even arguable. I mean, I think everybody knows we're very dependent on that. What I had problems with was the tactic of using fear to scare people into making them think that they're supporting terrorism because of that. I mean, the fact that we use gasoline and oil is really, to a certain extent, there's not much you can do about it. Do you want to drive to work? Do you want to get from point A to point B? And second of all, the functions of how you do it and what you need to do, like myself, I do drive a fairly energy efficient car. You know, it's nothing fancy, but it gets me from A to B, and it's not an SUV, it's not a gas guzzler. But I still took a little bit of offense to this because it's just too far of a stretch. I don't think that, like I said, the lady down the street who has to go pick up her son and the other three kids from soccer practice, and the guy who uses his SUV because he carries some of his work and storage of stuff in the back of the SUV or a big gas-guzzling pickup truck, I mean, it just seems like they're doing what they need to do to survive and get by in this country and excel in this country, and why should they be labeled as a terrorist supporter or somebody who's somehow giving authorization to terrorism just because of what they drive?
Yeah.
You know, if they do want to take that logic with the campaign and with this series of advertisements, instead of pointing to the people and the soccer moms and the guys who are working, et cetera, why not? The same absolute point can be made by pointing the finger at the manufacturers. They make the cars. If they didn't make them to sell, people wouldn't buy them. So if you want to point fingers, point it at them.
Yeah, I mean.
I also don't agree with that either. However, because they are making it because there's a demand for it, because people need this, because they do need to take their kids to soccer, they do need to pick people up, they do need, you know. And the other argument that could be made is people with SUVs might be more likely to carpool. So you put four or six people in an SUV, you got five cars off the road. So honestly, you may actually be saving by doing that. So, you know, there's just tons of scenarios that have no relationship to terrorism whatsoever. I just think it's just a ridiculous reach.
Yeah, that's it. It just doesn't make sense because, as you said, we are, it's like almost a fact of life that we need oil. We use oil for heat, we use oil for cars. It's ubiquitous today. We basically need oil to live.
Right.
And you can't say that, then you're going to basically say that buying computer parts is tied to terrorism because we make them in China. I mean, you can tie so many things to so many, like, odd scenarios to terrorism that basically you can't do anything without supporting terrorism.
Right, and that's the point with this. I think there has to be a line drawn somewhere. The drugs, connecting drugs to terrorism, is pretty much my line. I wouldn't put it any further than that, and like I said, that could be debated. But, you know, what's next? You're going to, I think I had posted this in a response on digitalrights.org, which is where all this started, and I'm going to encourage people and pimp that. People go over to that again and read. There's all kinds of just amazingly mind-numbing stuff that people are trying to pull, and digitalrights.org is real good about reporting all that and letting you know some of these things that people are trying to pull. But I mean, the point is, what's next? Where do you draw that line? You know, some kid who goes down to the store to buy a candy bar. You know, well, the candy bar is manufactured in a plant, and it's produced by a bunch of machines which use oil and produce pollution. And since we're buying oil from other countries, are we going to link that 7-year-old kid who wants a Hershey bar to a terroristic supporter? I mean, come on, that's really what they're doing with these car commercials. It's 7 degrees of separation. I mean, you can make that argument for any single thing in the world. You could say that everything is supporting terrorism. If you want to get really ironic, I could say that producing that line of advertisements and a campaign for freedom, how many millions of dollars did they spend on this campaign when they could have put those millions of dollars into researching a new vehicle that was more energy efficient? So in a way, they supported terrorism in making this entire commercial campaign.
Yep.
And am I wrong here?
No, not at all, because it's completely true.
Well, anyway, just to put this on a positive spin, it's very timely that I got my issue of Popular Science earlier this week. And in Popular Science magazine, there are two very relevant articles on this. One of them is an article that's called Sugar, the Future Fuel. And they are doing research. It's Daimler Chrysler and some other companies, University of Wisconsin, Madison. They're researching using sugar as an active ingredient in fuel, or as a replacement for fuel. Instead of gas and oil dependencies, if we can come up with a new source of fuel, we can eliminate that. So the money that they put in this campaign to, you know, accuse good, honest, hardworking people of supporting terrorism, they could have put money into helping further research like this. They could have put that money into putting a commercial on the air that educates people about what's the new, what should you do to help do this, what should be, you know, a more positive-oriented commercial. Show people the benefits of hybrid engines. Show people the benefits of using less fuel-efficient cars, more fuel-efficient cars. You know, and you got people doing research like this that are probably struggling to get funding for stuff like this. So it's just sickening that this kind of stuff doesn't even get noticed unless somebody reads Popular Science, and unfortunately not enough people do. You know, when they invent a car, see, that was my idea years ago. I decided one day I wanted to invent a car that runs on urine.
Yeah.
Whoever invents a car that runs on urine will be an instant millionaire. All you out there listening, dedicate your lives towards that. If you ever run out of gas on the side of the road, or run out of fuel, I should say, you just step over to the side of the road and you can refill, no problem.
Well, that depends on your bladder.
Well, yeah, I guess that's true. I guess,
like, if you got a small one, if you're a chick, well, what if you're a chick, you're fucked.
Well, you know, we'll have to get one of those. Didn't somebody invent a standing up device for women to? I don't know.
Yeah, all right, yeah, we're
on a tangent there.
yeah, we usually go into those a lot.
I know, but they're fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And actually, I'll bring it back to a series. There's another article. That was one article in this month's Popular Science, but the other one that was even better was what is it called? 10 Vehicles with Innovative Technology. And they list 10 different vehicles of hopefully many, many more to come of different concept cars. And some of them, actually most of these are on the road in some country. They may not be in the United States yet, but these are actually working automobiles that are sold that are more efficient, more fuel efficient, more energy efficient, less pollution. And they're like I said, they're available in other countries. So manufacturers are pushing these out. So I have heard some conspiracy theories, and people make comments that our dependency on oil, that, you know, old President so-and-so is actually stifling our research, and he's trying to make us more dependent on oil because he's from an oil state, and his is, see, I don't believe all that kind of stuff. When I see research like this going on, and I see that people are developing these cars, this thing has 10 cars that are currently available, and should be in the United States, hopefully within a couple of years, that will reduce our dependency on fuel from other or fuel sources from other countries. And ironically, out of these 10, the very first one listed here is an SUV that's a hybrid engine. So connecting SUVs to terrorism is frankly a joke. You know, ironically, you got an SUV hybrid that's in the works and should be coming any minute now. Then what happens to all the money you sunk into the campaign?
Yeah.
And you know what they'll probably do? They'll claim that as a victory and say they had some effect on it. when we know right damn good and well, anybody listening, I'm telling you, this is a car that's already on the road before this campaign came along. They can't claim credit for that.
Nope.
So, again, that's the kind of stuff that you'll find over at digitalrights.org. Digital Rights Foundation is a wonderful site run by BIOS. Beautiful new layout if you want to go check it out. And that's just one of many, many things that are posted over there. So I encourage everybody to go check that out.
Most definitely, most definitely.
There's another minor controversy or funny. Actually, it's more like an anecdote, a little funny story about. The way I saw it was about it was twisted to be a free speech. I don't know if I should say twisted, but it was mentioned as a free speech issue. And did you see the post I had made about the checks?
Yeah, I didn't read all of it, but I read some of it.
I'll give you the quick version. Basically, this person, I think he had gotten a speeding ticket. And nobody likes getting a speeding ticket, so he's a little upset. So when he sent in his check on the comment line, which, of course, is for you to place comments.
It's a vulgar remark saying this
is bullshit or something to that effect. It didn't tell us the exact words, but he put a vulgar word on there.
Yeah.
Well, when it went to court, or they took him to court for that word, and he was found to be in contempt of court for using profane language on his check. Now, what do you think about that one?
Has that ever been brought up before?
I've never heard a story like that, unless you have.
No, I mean, that's extremely odd. I mean, the memo line, or as you said, the comment line, is for your own personal, to say what happened and why you're writing this check. Now, saying that this is bullshit, well, it's the truth, but then I guess you could be offending that person, but it's also free speech. I mean, and technically, that's a very gray line.
I think it's also kind of funny because I know a friend of mine sent me a check one time where he was just being silly. He would send me some checks sometimes with just silly stuff, not in the memo, but even in the name. He would put something like the Muffin Man he put on one of the checks. And I take it and I cash it. They don't care, you know. They really don't pay a whole lot of attention in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think they were making an example of him, I guess, that because it was a speeding ticket.
Yeah.
Cops, they want to push the gray line as far as they can and try to make examples of people and show off how bad they are sometimes.
Yeah, I talked to a cop once about a friend of a family. I said, you know, timely enough, I'm just turned 17, but I was talking to him because I got my license about last March and I was able to drive, you know, but driving past midnight, if they catch you, I was like, what exactly happens? Well, he said, like, a number of things can happen. It just depends on the mood of the cop. He can write you a ticket. He could let you go. He could write you a ticket. But like the worst thing, Kevin, he could write you a ticket and take the car, impound it, and then bring you to the station.
Right, and like you said, it's all based on what kind of mood he's in and whether or not he wants to be an asshole.
Exactly.
And this is, unfortunately, and we're not going to go into a long rant on this, but this is unfortunately the kind of possible corruption and the kind of power that you put into the hands of the FBI and other agencies passing these ridiculous homestead acts or whatever they call it, the Homeland Security Act.
Yeah, the guy, that leader, it just went into power.
No, it's the potential for abuse here is just phenomenal, and it's only a matter of time before we start hearing stuff about it.
Yeah.
Hopefully it won't be abused, but reality dictates otherwise. But on this check, though, do you think that this is really a free speech issue, or do you think this was, do you think you have the right to put that kind of stuff on a check? I mean, is the memo line, I really don't know, is there a law that says can only be used for certain things, or do you think you have the right to put DDP rocks on your memo line, or you know,
I think
it was here or something?
I don't think there's a law on it. It's more, that's like the weirdest case I've ever heard. That's why, it's just so odd. And I don't think it makes a difference because the memo line is for your own personal use.
Exactly.
It's not there to. You could have ignored. I mean, you'd say, "Oh yeah, that's kind of funny," or I mean, it's not a matter for contempt of court because that's a serious thing.
Right.
So.
And actually, I've taken a few law classes, and a lot of people don't know that checks, as we know them, are just they're produced by the banks to make it convenient and easy. They're pretty much a standard size. They have the UPC code, their barcode on the bottom with your account numbers and stuff like that. But technically, you don't have to write that. You can legally, and you can look this up in any law book, contract law, you can find information like this. You can basically take a napkin or a piece of toilet paper or a piece of sheet paper from a printer or anything, and you can write, I pay to the order of, and you write that information on there. That is legal tender. That is legally a check, and it will stand up in court. I know in law class we studied a case where a person had written on the side of a cow, pay to the order of, and he put the guy's name in it, and he put the value, and he wrote it on the side of the cow. And it was a bill collector who had been hassling. He did it, you know, just to be an ass, which actually I thought was kind of funny. And when the bill collector came to collect, he's like, okay, well, here's the cow, here's your check. And he handed it, and the guy, you know, couldn't and wouldn't take the cow, claiming that it wasn't, you know, it wasn't legal tender. Well, actually, yes, it is absolutely legal tender. You can write a check anywhere, anything, as long as you put the information on there, then it they have to cash it. So, again, why suddenly do we have this limit on what you can write in the memo line of it? It's kind of silly.
But the question is, how are they going to image the check to send you back? I mean, are they going to take a picture of the cow?
Oh, well, see, the banks have gotten, geez, don't even get me started on how disgusting the banks are with their greedy asses. That's a courtesy that they give you copies of your check back.
I don't get copies anymore. I get a tiny little, like, one-inch image.
I don't even get that. If I want any image or the original checks back, I get charged. That's they charge me a fee because that is a service that they provide.
Oh, my God.
That's ridiculous. You know, the banks have gotten so bad. It's another situation. The banks have turned into what the phone company was 10 years ago, where there's all these big banks are eating up and buying all the little banks. And just like we had the big bells, they could dictate their prices. They could set whatever they wanted to and charge you whatever fees they wanted to. The same thing is happening with the banking system right now. So many of the banks are being bought out by big corporate banks or conglomerate banks, and they are controlling and dictating what the charges are. That's why I do still have a local bank account, but I don't keep most of my money in that. I opened a net bank account, and I have all access to all of my net bank stuff online. Now, they still have fees, don't get me wrong. They still have some things that I would like to see done better, but they're still better than most bank branches that I found to me locally, and I have pretty much the same access to my money as I would through a local bank. So, you know, I think, you know, anybody who hasn't looked into it, at least consider the option of net bank. I mean, they're good, and I'm sure there's alternatives besides that. I don't mean to single that one out. It's just the one I use. But online banking is really the way to go now.
Yeah, I still like just having a check-in. I mean, I got a junior account. I came with checks.
Because you're only 17.
Well, yeah. It was a cosign, too. Yeah, shut up. Yeah, I got, checks, ATM for free. But I still have, but of course everyone has if they're not an associated ATM, they have to pay a fee. But I was looking through their ad book, and if you have this college version of their account, they waive the fee.
Right.
So, like, that's awesome, because you can save so much money, because you can just go anywhere and use the ATM.
I actually had that college, whatever, they had a special thing where they waived the monthly fee. Well, that lasted for about 6 months until they got bought out by a larger bank, and suddenly I got charged a monthly fee.
Yeah.
When that happened, plus they used to give me a lot of other services, like I could get a money order. When you buy stuff on the Internet, sometimes, and depending on where you're ordering from, especially other countries, a money order is the way to pay for things and the way to get things sometimes, because I don't use PayPal. I don't have a PayPal account. And they used to give me free money orders. Well, now they charge me like a buck. Well, it depends on how much the money order is for, but I think it's a minimum of a dollar, $1.50, just to get a money order. You know, if I'm just buying a $20 DVD from Amazon France or something like that, I got to pay $1.50 on top of that just to get a money order.
Yeah.
So, yeah, service industry just has gone downhill in the years. Nobody knows what true service is all about, unfortunately.
Definitely, most definitely.
So, you know what else? How about, let's see.
What about Best Buy?
Want to go to Best Buy?
Yeah, what happened at Best Buy?
had some Best Buy gift cards recently. One of them courtesy of you and Duel, which I thank you again for.
Always.
And I noticed on the back of it that it was powered by American Express. And I don't know how much experience you have with some credit card companies, or a lot of the listeners do, but I've done quite a bit of research on it, and I know a little bit about the differences in a lot of the companies. American Express is famous for their database of users and their database of user buying statistics. If you look at Visa and MasterCard, that's why they're so much more widespread. They're a lot more liberal. They're a lot more easy to use and less tracking. American Express is very, very, is a very big data mining company. They keep a data warehouse that you just couldn't imagine. Everything that you buy, they track your spending habits, the stores that you shop at a lot, the type of things that you buy a lot, and they keep those in the database. And if you have an American Express card, they are one of the reasons that you'll get a lot of junk mail, physical snail mail, not spam, although that could be happening too. But you get a lot of physical junk mail sent to your house because American Express tracks your buying habits, and if they find out that you buy a lot of DVDs, for example, or a lot of electronics, they will sell your name as a data warehouse data set of customers, known customers who buy electronics, and they will sell that to Best Buy, or they will sell that to Circuit City, or something like that, and they will send you a lot of junk mail because they know for a fact, an absolute fact, guaranteed by American Express database, that you are known to buy electronics merchandise, so they... It's targeted marketing, and that's what American Express has always been famous for. They're not very good about respecting their customers' privacy. So it got me curious and got me wondering a little bit about these gift cards, because they are powered by American Express. Maybe it's the conspiracy theorist in me, but I just wonder if they're keeping information on who buys these and where they end up and stuff like that. And, for example, if you were to pay with a gift card with a different credit card, like your MasterCard or something like that, do they actually track that somehow, and now they have your MasterCard number in their database and know how you spend and whether you have another card, and maybe they'll start gearing ads to you trying to turn you away from the other credit card. And just something for you to think about and not to talk about now, but is that really fair that they're targeting... having a target audience to try to sell you an American Express because they now know that you have a competing credit card. Is that fair, or is that playing dirty?
Well, what you said was, if let's say I go to the store, I have a $50 gift card to say Best Buy, I buy something that's $60, they use all the $50, and then you're saying that they're somehow recording the other $10 you use on your Master?
Well, I'm not saying, I'm pointing out the possibility, and I think it is a very real possibility based on their track record. So, yes, I absolutely believe that could be happening.
That's a little shaky because, I mean, if you say, if they scan the 50, it's all spent. It's not just, I mean, that is true, but I don't know if they can tell you, they're not going to say what card you're using. They could say you're using a credit card.
Well, what about... Think of the front end. When you buy the credit card for someone else, let's say I were to buy you a $20 gift card to Best Buy, and I paid for it by giving her my MasterCard.
Okay, they could probably nail you on that, maybe.
I'm just, you know, the possibility exists for that. I just want to throw that out there. Look at the back of these cards that you buy, and not only American Express. I'm singling them out because that's the particular example I noticed it on, and because, like I said, they have a track record. They're famous for that. The American Express database is the heart and soul of that company. There's not nearly as many cards out there in use as there are Visas and MasterCards and Discovers, etc. Their money is in that database. That's their gold mine. That's their cash cow. But in general, I recommend that people, if you're going to buy gift cards, you pay for them with cash if you can. Even if it means you have to go to the ATM with your credit card previously, and then come in and buy it with the cash you just withdrew, at least it doesn't put that direct link between your two credit cards.
Well, the cash, always cash is anonymity, instant anonymity.
Exactly.
So just, if you're running with cash, whatever you're going to do, always run with cash. If it takes you the 5 minutes to go to the ATM and get it, then go. Because it's so much, with having cash, you can't tie it to anything because there's no way to really say, oh, he spent this serial number at this time, so we know he did it.
Right.
Unlike a credit card where they're going to know exactly, as you said, they're going to know you went to Best Buy. They're going to start hitting you with ads for other companies.
All right. Why don't we have a freak odyssey? All
right. You want to do that? All right, I'm going to flash over, guys.
All right.
The Best Buy gift card customer service provided by American Express.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a store, press 1. If
Ooh.
You are a gift card customer, press 2.
Hmm. We are 2, but I wonder what kind of phone we could have with number 1. We'll do that another day.
Please enter the 15-digit card number followed by the pound sign.
Good googly moogly. Let me try this. Did that take?
Thank you. Please enter the 4-digit card security code found in the center on the back of the card,
Ooh.
Followed by the pound sign.
See, now there's a scratch-off thing on the back. Let me punch this code in.
Your available balance is $20. To repeat your card balance, press 1. For merchant location information, press 2. To speak with a representative, press 0.
There we go.
Please hold while we transfer your call. This call may be monitored or recorded for quality assurance or training purposes.
Good. They won't mind if we record it then, will they?
Okay. Yeah, this should be fun.
Thank you for calling American Express. This is Agatha. How may I help you?
Yes, ma'am. I have a gift card that I got from a friend of mine, and I was just calling to check the balance on it, and I was kind of confused as to why I was calling American Express. I thought it was a gift card, which was like a debit card. I was just wondering exactly what the relationship there was.
Actually, sir, we handle the Best Buy card.
I'm sorry?
We handle the Best Buy gift card.
Mm-hmm.
They are under American Express.
Okay. So is this goes through the American Express system?
That's right, sir.
So, if I give you this number, you can tell me what the balance on the card is?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Can I do that now?
Sure, no problem. You have the card number, please.
Well, actually, also there's a number on here. It's like a scratch-off thing. What is that for?
That is for the card security code.
So does that mean if someone else were to get this number somehow, they still have to read the scratch-off and read you that number before they could find that information on it?
That's right, sir.
Okay. All right, well, thank you very much for your help. I'll just go in and check what the balance is at the store. But thank you very much. I appreciate it.
No problem, sir. Thank you for calling. Have a nice evening.
You too.
Thank you. Goodbye.
That was kind of funny.
Yeah, she didn't really feel too talkative, did she?
No, not at all.
Almost like they were doing a... It was like the bastard stepchild or something of... even deal with Best Buy. I think they wanted to be hands-off of that.
Yeah.
So they had the automated system at the beginning to tell the balance, but I just wanted to get somebody on the phone and see if she might divulge some information, but she was kind of like, yeah, we handle it. Your point?
Yeah. Let me hang up the other line 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're set.
All right. Well, we do know for a fact that it is the actual American Express, and looks like it's the same people you'd contact with any questions about your real American Express card, so it's not even a separate, like, sub-company or a separate number or anything like that. This might actually be a true American Express number. I don't know what American Express cards begin with.
Hey, I don't have any around.
That's very interesting.
Yes.
Plus, the world knows I have $20 balance on my Best Buy card, so...
No, it's fine.
All right, well, that was interesting. Not quite as informative as I had hoped, but at least interesting. And The number again, in case we didn't give it out, the number is 1-888-716-7994. And you can call, and if you notice that first option was if you are a store, press 1. I wonder what would happen if we were a store.
You could probably pull up information on a group of cards.
Hmm.
Maybe like if you have a... They're probably selling ranges of cards to stores.
Right.
So maybe you can go through a whole laundry list. But you're going to need some type of store ID.
Hey, you know what I should have asked was if she could tell who bought this card for me or any information. I could have... See if I can get some social engineer from some information out of them.
Probably not.
Yeah.
You'd have to be posing in a store.
Yeah.
Maybe. Even if that. Probably didn't even know how to do it.
Yeah, that's probably the number on the back of this probably is down to a localized level, so they might be tracking statistics like they find that this card that ends with XYZ was sold in Arizona but ended up in Florida or whatever, you know, something like that.
Well, I like the feature that security code. What happens if they're doubling up these cards?
Right.
But, no, because that scratch-off thing, when they scan it at the store, they're only going to get the barcode, so the security measure is only to get your balance.
Yeah, I mean, I don't quite see the security code point because it's a little scratch-off thing, and it's only a 4-character code. It's like a PIN number, kind of. So, I mean, what's going to happen if I call and give her the wrong PIN? She says, I'm sorry, that's not the right card or something?
Yeah, I know, like, it's... I don't know.
Oh, well, that seems like a strange... I guess you'd have 9,998 chances to call in and hammer away at a PIN code for a number. I guess if you knew somewhat the pattern of this card, you could sit away and hammer. If you really had that much time, you could hammer away at codes trying to figure out the code to one.
Yeah.
I don't know what goal or what point that would serve, but I guess push comes to shove, that would actually work.
Maybe, just maybe.
Oh, and then with my luck, it would be a card that already had zero balance that I got.
That would be funny, so.
Oh, man. All right, well, that was interesting, to say the least. But anyway, the moral of the story is to just be careful with these gift cards. You never know what they could be tracking. You never know. Obviously, they have this in their system still. I'm guessing they treat it just like a credit card, which is why we call. So they probably do keep statistics on what was purchased with it and things like that. So, you know, who knows what other information they're doing with this. So if you're buying a credit card, or excuse me, if you're buying a debit card or a gift card or even a phone card for that matter, pay for it with cash just to play it on the safe side.
Exactly.
Speaking of, as long as we're dealing with the big companies, I got, let's see, how are we on time?
I think we got about, I'm not totally sure because of the pause, but probably, I don't even know, I'm just going to take it to 9:45,
okay.
So that's about 20 minutes.
All right, well, we have time to talk about that. As long as we're on this messing with the big companies, there's another, has some very, very interesting information. I'm going to have some kind of a breaking news, kind of a, I don't know, what do you call it, an exclusive?
Yeah, an exclusive.
An exclusive on RFA 47, an exclusive DDP report. We need some theme music.
I'll bring some music in.
Someone sent me a message. Someone, a new user to the site, sent me a message that they were inspired by some of my articles, in particular my article on URL abuse, which, again, is available at the site, blah, blah, blah. But basically what that article was about the information that you can find in the URLs of sites and just kind of teaching you to keep your eyes open for what information you see and what it could mean. It was kind of a pretty general article on that, but gave some specific examples. Anyway, this person, who goes by the name of Mr. VTech, sent me a message that he found something that he thought was kind of interesting, and he wanted me to look into it or ask if I'd be interested to look into it. Of course, my answer was, hell yeah. He works for a company that ships things. We'll leave it very vague. He does a lot of shipping through Federal Express. FedEx to the rest of the world. And he noticed that when they ship things out, basically they have most businesses, small and large, they'll have an account on FedEx that they log into. And an online system, basically, that lets them print off barcodes and probably has their information, financial information and stuff like that on it to allow them to send packages with the business account, and it's probably just get one bill at the end of the month kind of situation. So he noticed that when he prints out these mailing labels, basically you put in the name and address of the person that you want to send stuff to, and it prints out the barcode, the appropriate barcode, the cost, the barcode with the cost information on it, prices, stuff like that. It gets printed out on a plain 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. And that piece of paper is folded up. And this is the direction not only FedEx, but UPS as well is going. I assume if you're like me, you order a lot of stuff on the web, and you get a lot of these things sent to you in the mail. And you've seen these barcodes I'm talking about.
Well, yeah, see, I got a UPS ground box right here. Just got a new ham radio battery. They actually have a sticker. So yeah, they have an invoice, but it's their own invoice. But yeah, I see. Are they basically folding up a piece of paper?
Right, it's basically a piece of paper folded in half, and one half has the barcodes and the label, and there's like a new security barcode that's on there for the post office system or for the mailing system in general. But
makes sense. So it's easier to print something out than to put a sticker on.
Right, the sticker is going away. They're trying to get away from that because I guess it costs more. And, well, obviously it costs more if they're the one distributing the stickers. For people who have never used these companies, they pay for these stickers. They put them at their stores, and you go pick them up and use them. Well, by doing this, not only is it paper cheaper than these special stickers, but it's the customers. It's the businesses who are sending who are now printing it. So it costs FedEx and these other companies nothing. It's actually a brilliant move. It's passing the cost on to the users. If you want to send something out, instead of them footing the bill for the sticker and the envelopes and everything, you will print it out on your own laser printer using your own ink and paper.
Yeah, it's and also the other thing is that it's probably cheaper for the person themselves instead of buying stickers to print it out.
Right. Well, what happens though? What they've done here is you log on to an online account, as I was saying earlier, and you put in the information for the person you're sending it to. You put in, I guess, content. You can put on the, insurance for the package and stuff like that. You enter in all this information on their online system, which you've logged into, of course, to get access to that account. And you put in all that information, and you click the submit button or whatever it is, and it will print off this full sheet of paper with the barcode and the information on it and the directions, and you fold that in half, and the envelopes now, they're specially made with a perfect size where you slide in the piece of paper sideways, and it fits perfectly, seals with the barcode on it so that it can be thrown in the truck and delivered. Well, Mr. VTech noticed that there is a URL printed on the top and the bottom of the paper. And basically, this is a feature, function, whatever you want to call it, of your browser. Browsers, by default, will print off the URL at the top and the bottom of the page of anything you print from the web. So, in his particular one, it prints off, there's some settings that you put in there. The way his is set up, it prints off the entire URL. For some people, most people, the default for Internet Explorer anyway, is to print one line and then it has dot, dot, dot after it. Well, that doesn't really do a lot for us, but if you get one of these, anytime you get anything from FedEx or UPS or one of these type of places, FedEx for sure, we've tested, that URL is really long. It's like 3 or 4 lines long, and it's a bunch of random characters. It's basically a cached copy of the label, the printout. So you can sit there and type in that entire URL from the bottom or the top of the paper, and it will take you to the site that was just printed out, obviously. It is the site with the barcode and with that information that was printed. You could go right ahead and print you another shipping label out very easily just by going to that URL. Well, besides even going into the possibility of reusing those barcodes and the use and misuse you could do of just getting in there and printing off that same barcode and shipping stuff for free over and over, using that same account before it gets caught. That's not really that. That was funny. That was interesting and kind of a little security hole if you want to break it. But the more interesting fact was at the bottom of this page were links to resend it or to send another copy, and I think there was another one that said options or something like that. Basically, if you get one of these and you look at it, you will notice that it's an HTTPS URL, which is secure HTTP. When you log on to a secure HTTP site, for example, Hotmail or anything like that, it's going to prompt you for your password to get in.
PayPal.
Yep. You have to authenticate to get into that. Well, because this is cached, and from what I've been doing a little quote-unquote research on this, what I found out is that that shipment pretty much stays in the system until it's delivered. It arrives at the person's house. So if you know or see that URL and put it in, and you will go straight to the HTTPS, and it is a cached copy of that account that when you access it, you can backdoor into the entire company's information. I want to make sure everybody realizes what this means. You can log on. Let's say, for example, Microsoft were to send you a beta copy of their new Windows Donghorn or whatever it's called this time, operating system. Now, if they make the mistake of printing out the URL on there, which is fairly common, we have seen it, and I have done some research on this, that it works. You will log on to Microsoft's account. And I tested this with a particular company who shall remain nameless, and I found a complete history of every package that that company has sent for the past month. And I could have gone back farther than that, but I saw a list of names, addresses, phone numbers, insurance amounts from this company to every person that they sent to across the world. I could have gone into any one of those accounts if I wanted to and print off the barcode again, resend it, check to see whether it's been delivered or not, and things like that, which are valid business functions that you would want to use. But it shouldn't be made available to a person who has no business or has no interest whatsoever in that particular transaction. And this is all because setting up this system, they didn't think this thing all the way through, and they put in this cache copy stays alive. It doesn't get cleared out until the package gets delivered. So keep your eyes open. If you get FedEx, or if you send a FedEx to someone, or if you can get Shoulder Surf or something like that somewhere, and you can find in, you can backdoor into a FedEx system and basically have free reign inside a FedEx system to send what you want, when you want, to whoever you want. If one were so inclined, that is.
No, but there's another thing to think about. You know what that is?
Well, I know something else, but you go ahead.
Now, how many days will it take for that to change? This will be aired on Wednesday.
Right.
That will be the 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd. I'm going to give FedEx 2 days to change it.
No way.
No way?
No, because they're not going to hear this, and the only way I think I could get them to change it is if I were to write this up and submit it somewhere, to BugTrack, submit it to 2600, submit it out there to someone where it got more widespread attention.
But
I mean, I know a lot of people listen to the show, and this is going to be great for them, and I hope you guys all go out and experiment and play with this. Don't get in trouble. Don't abuse it. I'm not authorizing, blah, blah, blah. Don't sue me. But I don't know if anybody from FedEx is listening, and I don't know how long it's going to take them to discover that this hold exists.
Well, just a possibility. I'm giving it 2 days.
All right, well, we'll see. We'll see. I hope so, actually. I hope they do lock this up, because that is kind of the whole point. Hopefully before somebody really, really abuses it. Like I said, I did this purely as out of research. Someone pointed it out to me. Mr. VTech, I want to again give him credit. He's the one who discovered this and asked me to do the research for it for obvious reasons. It was his work, and, you know, he didn't want to get caught doing anything like that. And, you know, there's nothing to be gained from it from me. I just wanted to see if it actually worked, and I found that it did, and I stopped. And I encourage everyone else to stop, but it is neat to see that this kind of vulnerability exists. This is not stuff that people make up. You know, a lot of people, if you're listening to the show and you're not a hacker, if you're a skeptic that's listening to the show, you don't think these kind of things happen and really exist and they're just stuff you read about, well, there you go. Go try it. There's yet another example
of something that you can go out there and try, and I can tell you, I can tell you as a matter of fact, as of today, it works. I have seen it. But the bigger aspect is not only the threat of what you could do with it, because the fact of the matter is, you're going to get caught if you do something with this. So I'm not telling anybody to go out and do it with it. What I'm pointing out is that it exists, first of all, the fact that it exists and how stupid it is that a gigantic company like FedEx has such a ludicrous concept and a design flaw like this. The scary thing that people should notice about this, now I'm kind of pausing and delaying so that people let, maybe this sinks in on their own, but I'm going to go ahead and point it out now, the privacy aspect of this. I told you, I went out and I saw people from the last 30 days who have gotten a package from this company. If it's a Microsoft, which is the example I used earlier, and I don't even know if they use FedEx, but, you know, they...
FedEx personal private courier thing.
And deliver stuff to Bill Gates' house on a silver platter with a dress on, for all I know. But for most companies, they're going to have accounts similar to this. And, you know, it's potentially not only embarrassing, but just... What if, for example, there were test results from an AIDS clinic? You know, suddenly I've got a list of everybody who's being tested, and depending on how they send this information out, maybe it's only positive. There's so much potential embarrassment, and just, you know, I don't even know the words for it. I could find out who's getting deliveries from the, what is that, Viagra company, you know?
Pfizer.
I could get a list of everybody who's gotten Viagra, you know, that and their addresses, you know, and their names and addresses. The potential for abuse here is just phenomenal.
You know, the other abuse comes from is from ad companies that hear this, start digging around, marketing to those people.
Well, you know, in a strange sort of way, I hope they do so that they can get busted and arrested because, you know, I'm emphasizing very much to people that this is just an anomaly that exists. I want you to see it. I want people to see and understand and realize that this is out there. Don't do anything. Don't get in trouble. Don't get, you know, just notice that this stuff happens. If you are an advertising person listening to this or something like that, you know, by all means, go do what you want. I hope you get fucking busted for it. But, you know, it's a shame that it costs. It's a shame that it has to happen for them to seal up the security hole. So, you know, we are recording this right now. By the time this airs, I will probably have sent an email to them pointing it out. Now, this is the other drawback to being a white hat hacker, is I have to send an email to them. Instead of being the good guy and reporting something to them, you know, how many times have you heard stories about you report something like this and you're the person that ends up getting busted for it? So now I have to go find an anonymous remailer to send it in. the fact that they have a problem with their system so that I don't get busted for causing it or doing it, and they claim how many millions of dollars of damage I've done and yada, yada, yada. So by the time this does go out, so maybe your 2 or 3 days will be right if I email them this, but something tells me I'll send it to webmaster@fedex.com and it'll hit a black hole, you know, and nobody will ever read it.
Yeah. Blip on the radar.
Anyway, there's an exclusive for you on RFA. That's a DDP exclusive that, like I said, anybody can find. Just you can go out there and shoulder surf to get it. You can order something from a company, and maybe it'll be printed on there. You know, people don't think these things through. It's very common. So have fun with it for what it's worth.
And we close the DDP exclusive.
Man, we gotta have theme music.
I'm gonna get it. I'll get it, man. I'll get it. I'll get a nice opening.
Yeah, that, you don't really have, access to funds with that back door. So that's why I was a little bit more free with and willing to show it on the air, because it's really, the damage you could do with it is limited, and if you were to do it, you're really risking getting busted and getting caught. You're not going to have access to, like, anybody's money. You can't steal anything. It's not a bank job. It's nothing like that. So don't think that either. It's you know, people listening, it's just more of an anomaly. So, and that's really the reason that Mr. VTech had contacted me, because he wanted me to see. He was concerned that was, you know, potentially something dangerous right there. So turns out it's only a minor, really more of a privacy issue than anything else, potential privacy issue. So So it's not like I'm groundbreaking any kind of big financial loss or potential loss of money here or anything like that. So.
Exactly. Yeah, well, it was very interesting because you don't expect someone that big. I mean, of course, you see holes every day. Like, I mean, you see holes in big companies like this every day, but that's still very major, even though you're not going to be able to change any data. Still very big.
Right, and you can see the data.
Yeah.
The thing is, when it does come to money, they really do take security seriously. You know, you just do not read about people breaking into banks and hacking into this, and that just doesn't really happen much anymore. And if it does, it's usually an inside job. It's not like some outside hacker, stereotypical media hacker. It's not somebody that's doing that. It's somebody on the inside.
And if it's someone on the inside, you're not going to hear about it.
Exactly.
Because they're going to shut that person up as fast as possible.
Right. The majority of these things are just stupid mistakes.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, the kind of thing that we live for, really. You know, the kind of thing that we like to find and we realize and we try to point out to people because, you know, and I wonder how much the security officer for FedEx gets paid a year. And here I am running one episode of Duel's radio show while he's out. And, you know, just one little hacker, you know, in my little corner of the universe found out. And this guy's probably making $100,000 a year plus.
And shitting his pants.
You know? It's just ridiculous. And it goes to show you the incompetence that abounds in these companies. So.
I mean, there's incompetence everywhere. You can't really deny it.
Yep.
It's really impossible to stop because it's, sad enough, human nature.
Absolutely, absolutely.
How many times have we seen admin as passwords? We see it every day.
Oh, all the time. There's so much to talk about in so little time. We'll say this Duel should be back next week, is that correct?
Yes, next week we'll return with the Duel and Mute and Stank show.
Hopefully.
Well, let's hope his plane gets back. Well, let's hope FedEx didn't find him in the terminal.
Exactly.
Or hope he didn't get arrested for, shall we say, suspicious activity. Let's hope he makes it back. He'll probably be recording this right now and say, God damn, why'd I put them on the show?
Yeah, and see, my cheap, I don't even have call waiting because I refuse on giving the phone company any more money. For all I know, he's getting a busy signal calling me from the airport going, Stan, come get me, man.
come get me. I need bail.
Stay up.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm on one of the lines that we don't have call waiting, so.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think we're close to the end, aren't we?
Yeah, we've reached, I believe, an hour.
Well, you know, we have a lot of other things we can talk about. We'll save them for the next show. I still wanted to do a little bit of a Freedom Downtime review, and we still are long overdue for that Outlaws and Angels. We never really did a full review on that. I wanted to do that on the air.
Here, I'll give a three-letter, a three-word review. Piece of shit.
Well, you know, that pretty much sums it up. I don't know what else we can add to that except maybe, like, steaming shit or stinky, lumpy shit. No, I think piece of shit pretty much covers it.
Yeah.
Here's one quick thing I can mention is, well, you know what? You know, we got plenty of stuff. We'll save this for another show.
Yeah, all right.
Like I said, Duel's supposed to be back next week. We got a couple episodes for him to get settled back in. And then look forward to the big number 50 spectacular 50. Did you hear how many I said? 50 episodes of RFA.
Amazing.
Isn't that incredible?
Amazing.
How many shows have made 50 episodes? How many have made it that far? We are like the Gilligan's Island of hacking radio.
Exactly. I think we should have like season breaks.
Yeah, I think only the Simpsons might have a speed and number of episodes.
Yeah, they have pretty high. So we're signing off for tonight. This is Mutant.
Stank Dog.
Stank Dog's in the house. And, Stank, I got one question for you.
Shoot.
Have you played DDR lately?
The area code you have dialed, 206, has been changed to 425. Please try your call again with the new area code.
Operator, can you pick me up to my lover at the end of the line? Operator, can you pick me up to my lover? Gotta nobody's mind. Operator, can you pick me up to my lover at the end of the line? hanging by.